This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastahdi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdillahu fahuwa al-muhtad wa man yudlil falan tajid lahu waliya murshida. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحابته ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر. Praise be to Allah. All praise belongs to Him. We praise Him. We seek His help, forgiveness and His guidance. We seek refuge and protection of Allah from our bad deeds as we seek His refuge and protection from the bad that's inside us. Know then one who is guided by Allah, they are truly guided. One who is left to go astray will not find a guide or a protector or a helper after that. And I bear witness that there is no God but the one God. Glory be to Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is His slave and messenger. The adhan we just had, which was the second adhan that you witnessed, actually is the first adhan, as fuqaha called it. I've got problems with the mic again. My bugbearer. And the second is the iqamah, which is to take place. In fact, the adhan that Hanif did earlier on is known as the third adhan. It's becoming like a comedy show. The third adhan, as it's known, was established at the time of Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu. Wasn't that the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why was it established? It was actually given at the marketplaces to warn people well beforehand so they could go and get ready. Yeah? And Sahaba accepted it. It's not a bid'ah. And it was done early. Therefore, we're not restricted, especially when we're short of time for the khatib, who has to do two khutbahs and get two jama'ahs in, from doing this third adhan much earlier. There's no evidence you have to wait necessarily for the zawal to go by, etc., because it was done much earlier at the marketplace and it came after the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mention it to give us leeway in giving that adhan earlier, especially when we're limited for time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I have a few issues to clarify for our guidance, in Surah Al-Fajr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes oath by the dawn, and by the 10 nights, and by the even and the odd, and by the night when it dissipates. Is this not enough of an oath for anyone who has sense? Some mufassirun, and on these ayat, there is so much ikhtilaf and difference of opinion. Some mufassirun said, oh, these 10 nights here mentioned that Allah is taking oath by are linked with the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Others said, no, it's to do with the 10 nights of Ramadan. And others mention it's any 10 nights, actually. It's any 10 nights. So it's not specific to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is not finite. It can have any of those interpretations. I personally think the best opinion is that the 10 nights refer to the 10 nights at the end of Ramadan. Nights can include the day. When you say you're going away for 10 nights, it means the days as well, but with a special focus on the night. When it mentioned days, yeah, it can include the nights, yeah, but with a special focus on the days, yeah. So anyway, Allahu Alam, there's difference of opinion. But we can't use these ayat to say, for sure, this is referring to the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Why mention 10 days of Dhul Hijjah? I think it's the 29th of Dhul Qa'dah today. Yeah, depending on which timetable you're following, which moon you've seen. So Dhul Hijjah is about to start either tomorrow or the day after. The Prophet ﷺ said, في حديث الذي رواه ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما وأخرجه البخاري وأبو داود والنسائي وابن ماجة والدارمي. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما العمل في أيام العشر أفضل من العمل في هذه؟ يعني عشر الحجة. قالوا: ولا الجهاد يا رسول الله؟ قال: ولا الجهاد إلا رجل خرج يخاطر بنفسه وماله فلم يرجع بشيء. So the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, there is no better 10 days for good deeds than these 10 days, which are about to approach. So they said, O Messenger of Allah, what about some... they said, what about jihad? What about struggling and striving in the way of Allah? Even going to a fight as well, included in that meaning as well. Fi sabilillah. The Prophet ﷺ said, not even jihad, except a person who goes out putting their life and their wealth in at risk and comes back with nothing. In other words, become shaheed. Only the shaheed can have a higher claim to good deeds than these special days of good deeds. So this is these days. Some people have interpreted, and you'll see on the internet, and some Aima have said the same, that these 10 days are better for good deeds than even Ramadan. And I mentioned this before, I think this opinion, if I'm gentle, I will say it is marjuh, it is a weaker opinion. But I would really say it is a mistake, and also fasid, this opinion. Because 10 days of voluntary good deeds, in which includes extra salah, there's no tarawih, is there, in these 10 days, not established from the sunnah or from the sahaba? Is there? There's no obligation of fasting. Obligatory fasting is more rewardable than voluntary fasting, even if you were to do fasting in this. How can both compare and you make one where you do voluntary fasting better than where you do obligatory fasting? Impossible. Doesn't make sense. And beyond that, the Prophet ﷺ called the month of Ramadan Shahrum Mubarak. And in it is a night worth more than 1,000 months of worship. There's a hadith which is daif, weak, which mentions that one who fasts a day in this 10 days is as though they fasted a whole year. And one who stays up in the night of this month, it's as though they stayed up Laylatul Qadr. This hadith is weak and it contradicts. If you can get more reward in these 10 days than you can a day of fasting in Ramadan, it's not nonsensical, isn't it? Because that's obligatory. That's obligatory. There's no obligation of fasting in these 10 days, right? So there's nothing authentic which makes these 10 days better than Ramadan. And any such comparison is wrong. When Prophet ﷺ said, no better than these 10 days, it means with the takhsis, with the exception of Ramadan. Of course it means that. Prophet ﷺ, in those, it is well documented that when the last, إِذَا دَخْلَ الْأَشْرَ الْأَخِيمِ in Ramadan, أَحْيَ اللَّيْلِ وَأَيْكَذَ أَهْلَهِ وَشَدَّ الْمِعْزَرِ. You heard the hadith, I mentioned it in Ramadan. That when the last 10 days of Ramadan used to come, he used to stay up every night, wake up his family, and tighten his waist belt, meaning really get going. Is there such thing mentioned for these 10 days? No, there isn't. Prophet ﷺ, كان أجود الناس, was the most generous of people. وكان أجود ما يكون في رمضان. And he was the most generous in giving in Ramadan. And his generosity was that the donations used to go from his hand like a wind bringing goodness. That's nothing mentioned like that in these 10 days from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah. So when you take all that, you realize that actually Ramadan is something so special. There's no night compared to Laylatul Qadr, and there's no Laylatul Qadr in these. Nevertheless, that's just to clarify that this comparison making is wrong. There's nothing like Ramadan. The exception of Ramadan, then you can ask count these 10 days after that, in which it's voluntary. Good deeds means dhikr, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a spiritual time, but a time of giving, because good deeds includes giving to others. Benefit, whether it's financial or otherwise. Yeah, good deeds mean being honest and kind and considerate to neighbors, to others. Yeah, staying away from bad. All that to partake of the Mawsumul Hajj, the season of the Hajj. So the people who are even away from the Hajj and Umrah are partaking of this special time. Yeah? And if you want to stay open, but it's voluntary. It's voluntary to do extra prayers. It's voluntary to stay up in the night. Yeah? You're not looking for Laylatul Qadr, so therefore we don't have Taraweeh. Yeah? But if you want to, that's fine. Yeah? And it's voluntary to fast as well. Despite a hadith of Ummul Mu'mineen, Aisha radiallahu anha, qalat, alladhi rawahu Muslim, qalat, ma ra'aytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sa'im fil ashar qattu. I never saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fast in these 10 days, ever. So how do we deal with that? Actually, ulama deal with this. And you know, this hadith, which is in Sahih Muslim, this is why I always say that studying and reading from Sahih Muslim or Sahih Bukhari, they are not books for the arm and the public. And let me make that point again. Because you will get confused, because you will find hadith in there which will apparently, and I've got more examples, contradict each other. You won't know how to deal with them. Therefore, the ulama to discuss and to deal with, yeah? These are not books for the public. So anyway, so this hadith is there. Does that mean that you're not allowed to fast? No, it doesn't mean that. Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, even in the tent. Remember, the Prophet went between his wives, as other fuqaha argue. He's not going to spend all of the 10 days with Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, but with other ummahat as well, other of his wives. So she's not going to witness all of the 10 days of the Prophet, is she? Number one. So she's honest in what she's saying. She never saw him do that. Nevertheless, she also says, the hadith alladhi rawahu Bukhari wa Muslim, she said, ma ra'aytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam salla subhatul adha. I never saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pray the duha prayer. You know the duha prayer is sunnah. From qawlan nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he recommended it. But she says, and she says, qattu again. I never saw him pray the duha prayer. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then she says, look what she says after that. Wa inni la usabbihuha. However, I do the salatul duha. Similar to the other hadith. Yeah? In other words, him not doing it doesn't prevent me from doing it. Because it's in his call, in his statement, in authentic hadith, encouraging, even though it's voluntary, to pray the duha prayer, if you're able to, being rewarded much. You see here that just because she doesn't see him, Prophet ﷺ, sallu qabla al-maghrib rakatain, pray two rakats before maghrib. Ba'd al-ghurub, that's after the sun has gone down. Yeah. And Prophet ﷺ has never been seen to do two rakats. But his statement that his qawl is a record. And Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu explains in hadith in Bukhari Muslim why he wouldn't do things which he loved to do. She says, radiallahu anha, that in case it became obligatory on people. That also means not necessarily that obligatory on people from Allah, that includes the meaning that people make it out as though it's obligatory. People make it out as though it's obligatory. And they behave as though it's obligatory. Looking down on others who are not fasting, looking down on others who are not doing extra prayers in these 10 days. Yeah, that is not the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So fasting, I would say in conclusion, is fine. And especially so, the fast of the 9th or the Yawm Arafah is mentioned. If you're not at Arafah, as a sunnah, indirectly from the sunnah, nothing in the Quran about it, but indirectly, the Prophet ﷺ in one authentic hadith, do not fast, the day of Arafah while you're at Arafah. In other words, it's fine to fast another day. Hadith in Sahih Muslim from Abi Qatada is a famous hadith which mentions about the Sawm is Yawmi Arafah, Yukafira Sanatain. Sanatul Madiya wal Mustaqbala. That it blots out sins from the previous year, 2 years, and the coming year. Wasawmi Ashura Yukafira Sana, or Sanatul Madiya. The fast of Ashura, which is the month to come, 10th day, it wipes away sins for a year that's gone by. Now, this hadith, there is debate in it, actually. even though it's in Sahih Muslim. Yeah. There are hadith critics. Imam Bukhari says that the Rawi who transmitted from Abi Qatada, and this is the only hadith, only Abi Qatada, this is the only hadith reporting this level of reward. Yeah. Imam Bukhari says he didn't hear from Abu Qatada. In other words, he says this is weak. This is also opinion of a few other of, and therefore you won't find this hadith in Bukhari. Tirmidhi has the same approach. He was a student of Imam Bukhari. Personally, leave the debate to the scholars. It's fine. It's recommended to fast that. But I have an issue with it on a secondary ground. And that's why the question mark about this hadith, even though it's in Sahih Muslim. Because how is it that one day of fasting of the Yom Arafah, which is not obligatory, gives sin wiping out for 2 years, and the fast of Ramadan only gives wiping out of sins for 1 year? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, authentic, famous hadith, Al-Jum'atu wal-Jum'ah, or Ramadan ila Ramadan. This is where he said it. Mukaffira lima baynahunna, idha ijtanib al-kaba'ir, or kama qal. That meaning from Ramadan to Ramadan, if you fast Ramadan, then it is a wiping out away of sins for a whole year. For a whole year, fasting the whole of Ramadan, obligatory fasting. So how can one fast of Arafah be bigger and greater than that, which is only voluntary? That also puts a question mark on the hadith. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله ولكم إنه الغفور الرحيم. استغفر الله استغفر. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد أيها الإخوة. Still recommended. Yeah, it's fine. And actually, the general hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas saying there's no better 10 days for doing good deeds includes fasting as well. Yeah, any of the days, except, of course, on the day of Eid. It is not acceptable to fast on the day of Eid. In fact, running out of time, about the Udhiyah, I want to say something. And I can't say what I want to say in detail because we've got such shortage of time. For those intending, and the best opinion on this, yeah, is that it is mustahab, highly recommended. One on behalf of the family is fine, every individual doesn't have to do it. Yeah. And it is recommended, and anything about the virtues of sacrificing udhiyah, any hadith, as Ibn al-Arabi, the Maliki scholar, said quite rightly, there is no authentic hadith about the benefits and virtues of sacrificing. No single hadith, whether it's to do with the blood falling and the rewards coming before it, coming on the day of judgment, etc., etc. All the hadith, doesn't it say it's not good? It's mustahab and recommended from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah, following on from commemorating Ibrahim and Ishaq alayhi wasallam. So it is recommended. And donation, just giving money, is not, unless it is given to a charity for the specific purpose of udhiyah, of sacrifice, it is not accepted as udhiyah. It is not accepted as nusuk. To the extent that Prophet ﷺ in authentic hadith said that the first thing we start with Muslims on a day of Eid al-Adha is with Salah. And after Salah, we go and do our sacrificing. And anybody who's done the sacrifice before Salatul Eid, it is just meat for them to eat. It is not nusuk. It is not sacrifice. And that's actually sacrificing the animal. It's not accepted. So how do you think you can just get it accepted by just sending a donation, money to people? No. It is an insult to their memory and commemorating Ibrahim alayhi salam. It is against the sunnah to do that. And I don't have time to go into other things. To finish with this idea of not taking from the hair and nails, there's big debate amongst fuqaha. I think the best opinion on that, for those who are present and planning to give udhiyah, that it is fine, you can do. Actually, it's more linked with those who are at Hajj and Umrah. And in ihram, even they going to ihram for Hajj, when they're doing tamattu, which is the most recommended by the Prophet ﷺ for the Ummah, they're going to on the 8th day. Before that, if they've done their Umrah, they're allowed to sleep with their wives and husbands because they're out of ihram. They're allowed to cut their hair and nails and everything. Yes, that's why some fuqaha argued, and it's a big debate. that how can it be more strict for those who are not even at Hajj? That they can't do that haram. It's Hanabila who have the most strict opinion on this. Majority of the scholars went down the idea of karaha, dislike, but actually I believe that it is mansukh. Yeah, this is linked with the Prophet ﷺ. Last Hajji clarified that those things were linked with the muhrim only, those who are in ihram at Hajj or Umrah, not with sacrifice being made here. It's shortage of time. I'm really sorry. I hope it hasn't left you confused. Yeah. Inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our sacrificing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our good deeds in these coming 10 days. Yeah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the encouragement to do all that is all there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lift us spiritually and fill us with the iman and radiance and keep us guided on Sirat al-Mustaqim. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وباركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل